Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Joy. The scripture reading is Psalm 67, verse 1 to 6. Thank you to Dave, Paul, Janet, and Dawn for being part of the video.
I'm going to ask you to come in and take a seat. This makes you realize how much we miss the students. We miss them. We are thankful for your presence. The Operation Christmas Child boxes are available now. And they are in the lobby out on one of the counters. Feel free to pick one of those up. We're glad that that gets going again, and look forward to putting together a box or two or more. Happy birthday this week to Jesse. There is a job opportunity at Great Lakes for a part-time bus driver. We have some prayer requests from Jenny's sister Bernadette, has passed away September the 30th after a battle with cancer. And our prayers certainly go out to Jenny and her family. And Jack is back in the hospital as of Friday. So we pray for Marie and for Jack. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we're contemplating our Thanksgiving holiday. But we are thankful constantly for your presence, your guidance, your care, your gift of grace surround us, and your mercy toward us each and every day. We are thankful. We pray for Jack. We pray for Jenny's family. And there are others of our friends and brothers and sisters dealing with health issues. We pray for comfort and strength. And may we be the emissaries for your goodness. Help us as we have come together here to worship, to praise, to lift up our voices, to draw closer to you and to one another. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Good to see all of you today. As we come around the table, the metaphoric table, we remember Christ's life. He lived for us. He went to the cross willingly for us. He died for us. He was buried for us. And he was raised for us. And he continues to live for us, interceding for us, advocating for us, empowering us, urging us through his Holy Spirit. The part that I want to focus on today is he was raised for us. It is amazing to me. So I grew up in the church. I grew up down the road, half an hour inland at Fenwick. And I've heard incalculable number of sermons, which were all amazing. Don, can we, you know, always amazing. And I remember every detail of every single one. So I've preached a few sermons in my day, and I can attest that that is not necessarily true. And yet, I'm sure this was repeated over and over, and yet somehow maybe it didn't stick, or I wasn't in the right spot, or whatever. But only a few years ago, I saw in the New Testament text especially, over and over again, the power of the resurrection being brought up. And specifically, the power of the resurrection being applied not only to Jesus, but also to us. So the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to know. Paul wants to know. That Paul, but also this Paul. Now, yes, I want to know the power of the resurrection ultimately, right? I want to know the power of the resurrection as in I am raised from my own grave to be with him for eternity. But that's not the sense that I get that Paul was primarily talking about there. And we can go through the context of the actual text, but he's also talking about in life. The power of that resurrection is evident, or Paul wants it to be evident, in his actual life. So as we gather around the Lord's Supper this morning, or today, and we remember that resurrection and that power, I would like to suggest that we also remember that that power is available to us today. I would like to suggest that we remember that we want that power. There's lots of different situations in life, and some of you may be in spots in life where it may seem impossible for whatever reason. It may seem like there's no options, like there's no way out, like there's no future, like there's no, nothing can help. But how does that equation change when we remember the power that raised Jesus from the dead is also available to us? What challenges in life can be in the way of that power? What situation can block that power? And that's exactly what we have. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given us and all you've blessed us with. Thank you for this time to remember your Son, to remember his death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, as we partake of the emblems that remind us of that event, help us to also be reminded of the saving grace and the saving power that is available to us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be good rememberers. Help us to live like a people who have remembered. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Before I do my reading, I'd like to send Thanksgiving greetings to Diane and Morgan and Dorothy and Gordon, who are worshiping in the little family church in Markdale, where I used to go all the time. The reading today is from Psalm 67, verse 1 to 7. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us today. We started a new preaching series last week, and it's going to run right through until Christmas. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we talked about love. Today we're going to talk about joy. In the Old Testament, the temple of the Lord was built and magnificent until it was destroyed. Many times over, it was destroyed. And it's the same old story that was repeated throughout the Old Testament. God said, if you're faithful to me, I want you to know how much I'm pouring out my love into your hearts. But for some reason, people wanted to pull away, follow idols and so forth. And so there was a penalty to pay very, very often. And it seemed like Israel did so well as long as they stayed faithful to God. But for some reason, they always wanted to pull away. And I suppose for some of us, there have been times in our life when we too have pulled away. We've maybe become somewhat lethargic in our faith instead of really experiencing the joy that God pours out into our hearts by His Holy Spirit. And I didn't say that. That's what Scripture says. I want to go back into the Old Testament for just a moment, and you can maybe just picture as I read this. As I said, the temple of the Lord had been destroyed many, many times, and it was now being rebuilt, and it goes this way. This is from Nehemiah. And all the people gathered as one at the square, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of the people and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate. Listen to this. From early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. I guess that's the first pulpit. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. You must not mourn, you must not weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law, because they hadn't been following it. Then he said to them, Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to your Lord. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And then it says, And there was great rejoicing. So as we started this preaching series, Love and Joy, I just ask a question. Do you feel joy in your life? The last several years with the pandemic and difficulties in the world, troubles, have you felt the joy of God's love overwhelming in your heart? And so today I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about this. How many of us remember a Sunday school song that we used to sing, at least I did, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And sometimes we forget that God's joy is overflowing into our lives. So when Jesus told his disciples that he was going to have to die, he reminded his disciples that they would be filled with sorrow, but their grief would turn to joy. In John chapter 16, starting in verse 17, it says this: Some of Jesus' disciples said to one another, "What does Jesus mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a while you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father?'" They kept asking, "What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying." "I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." And I think we all understand this, that when Jesus was crucified, his disciples just couldn't grasp it. They just couldn't grasp it. And they thought all was lost. And then Jesus was raised, and he appeared to many people. And he had to remind them of what he had told them. And I'm sure that many of the disciples went, "Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, that's exactly what you said was going to happen." But our grief was so overwhelming that we forgot. And now that we see you, our joy has come. So he said, "Your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child has been born into the world." So Jesus says, "So with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice." Listen now, "and no one will take away your joy." This is so important from us, that if we feel a lack of joy, remember what Jesus said: "My joy is in you. I pour it out to you." Sometimes there are circumstances where we just can't feel the joy, but we can have that inner peace that death is not the end, that illness is not the end, that sorrow is not the end, but that God gives us joy. "And you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." There's a gentleman by the name of John Kendrick Bangs. Never heard of him before. But he wrote, "Joy is the word." Let me just read it to you. "Today, whatever may annoy, the word for me is joy. Just simple joy. The joy of life. The joy of children and a wife. The joy of bright blue skies. The joy of rain. The glad surprise of twinkling stars that shine at night. The joy of winged things upon their flight. The joy of noonday and the tried true joyousness of eventide. The joy of labor, the joy of mirth, the joy of air and sea and earth, the countless joys that ever flow from him whose vast beneficence doth dim, the lustrous light of day and lavish gifts divine upon our way. Whatever there be of sorrow, I'll put it off till tomorrow. And when tomorrow comes, why then 'twill be today and joy again." One of the great preachers, I guess, of all time, D.L. Moody, wrote, "Joy no one can take away." He said, "In the second century, they brought a martyr before a king, and the king wanted him to recant and give up faith in Christ. But the man spurned the thought. The king demanded, 'If you don't do it, I will banish you.' The man smiled and answered, 'You can't banish me from Christ. Christ says he will never leave me, nor forsake me. And the king was furious and said, well, I will confiscate your property and take it all away from you. And the man replied, my treasures are laid up on high. You can't get them. The king became even more angry and said, I will kill you. And the man answered, I've been dead in Christ and dead to the world for many, many years. My life is hid with Christ in God, and you cannot touch it. We rejoice because we live on resurrection ground. Having risen with Christ, let persecution and opposition come, because my joy no one can take away. Then there's this picture in the last of the Psalms, Psalm 150, the last Psalm. It's very unique. It's very difficult to read this without feeling joy and praise. So somehow picture this in your mind, because it is significant. And I kind of miss the fact that out of all the Psalms, Psalms ends with this worship that has such joy in it. It's unique. Let me just read this to you. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Talk about a joyful worship time. Can you imagine what it will be like when we see God face to face for the first time? And that's something that's promised. And when we see Jesus face to face for the first time. And when we see the Holy Spirit face to face for the first time. And when we see people like Paul or James. And when we see grandma and grandpa and maybe mom and dad and maybe baby, maybe brother, maybe sister again. The joy of the Lord is overwhelming, stacked up against great sadness that many of us still feel for lost loved ones, but that God has promised us with joy that we will be with them again. And then he says, and no one will take away your joy. So in Psalm 126, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, he said, we were people who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves. And then picture this scene when the Ark of the Covenant was returned. And you remember that was a powerful thing when the Ark of the Covenant had to be carried. It could never be touched. You could not touch the Ark. When people did try, it didn't go very well. You had to just say, there's something powerful here. So picture this scene when the Ark of the Covenant was returned. The priests and the Levites underwent the ceremonies of sanctification in preparation for bringing the Ark of Jehovah, the God of Israel. They had to prepare for it. The Levites carried the Ark on their shoulders with the poles, just as instructed by Moses. King David ordered the Levite leaders to organize the singers, so please picture this in your mind, the singers, the carrying of the Ark, and then the singers, and they were ordered to sing into as an orchestra, and they played loudly and joyously with harps and cymbals. And then watch this. I missed this for years. The priests formed a bugle corps to march at the head of the procession. Can you picture that in your mind? They're leading it. This music is powerful. The Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God is there. And then David and the leaders of Israel and the high officers of the army went with great joy. And there are powerful hymns of joy. Do you remember this song? Joyful, joyful, we adore. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Here are the words. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, love, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness. Immortal, immortal gladness. Fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee. Earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee. That just grabbed me this week. I never realized that angels sing around us. We may not hear, we may not see them, but they sing for us and around us. Man, it's going to be cool when we get to heaven and we get to hear that. And we can be part of all of that. And thy works with joy surround thee. Earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, blossoming meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other. Lift us to the joy divine. Mortals joy in mighty chorus, which the morning stars began, Father love is reigning o'er us. Brother love binds man to man. Listen now, ever singing, march we onward. Victors in the midst of strife, joyful music lifts us sunward in the triumph song of life. I would be remiss if I didn't make this comment. And that is that joy sometimes comes after great difficulties and great trials and great challenges and deep, deep sorrow. And we wonder, will we ever be happy again? But you remember Job, a man afflicted in every possible way, but he would not denounce God. And when Job was finally restored to good health, Job prayed for his friends, and Job lived with pain, but he also lived with joy. And at the end of his life, joy was restored, health was restored. There's joy even in sadness. In encouraging Christians in Rome, Paul wrote to them and said, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace." That's a pretty good combination. "As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of God's Holy Spirit." We can't do this alone. God's Spirit helps us with this, and we pray for his help. And to the church at Rome, Paul lists wonderful Christians who are living and serving others, and then says, "Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you." Just think about people in our congregation and think of the joy that they have given you. Think of each other and that you're here and there's joy on my part for you. And there's joy all around us. In a book that was seldom read in the Bible, maybe because it's just so brief, only 14 verses long, the Apostle John is encouraging his friend, Gaius. He encourages him with joy and faithfulness. This is what he says. "To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth," he says, "dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers and sisters and tell me about your faithfulness of the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." So let me conclude these thoughts today. There is marvelous spiritual medicinal power in joy. Some medicines are distasteful, but joy can be the best of all medicines. It's sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. May each of us have the joy, 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 joy down in our heart to stay. I pray for each one today that you will have great joy. Amen.
I'd like to thank Don for his message, Paul for his words around the table. I have a scripture to read in conclusion. We must not allow the trials and the darkness to steal your joy. There are certainly challenges for us to see the light of God every day. But Psalm 105, the first four verses, will conclude our time together with this thought. "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always."
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.